reading of the Word of God. We'll read our text this morning and do our best to bring the thought that God, I believe, wants us to have this morning. You know, when I was going to preach on those thunderbolts and hail and all that terrible stuff that took place down in the land of Egypt, and you know, I've got some notes written down on it. And I, like I said, I went to study it this morning, an hour and a half. I'd written four words, and I didn't get too far on that. Miss Hall, I think, woke me up about four times, and it just the brain wouldn't work too well. And I thought, Lord, that wouldn't really go after the marathon the way the Lord helped us. A little bit better thought, I believe, could be brought this morning than hot thunderbolts coming down on a man's head. I don't want hot thunderbolts and hail balls on me. I don't know about you. They're going to fall during the tribulation period the size of a talent, and that's going to be rough. That's going to be rough. And I think I've got what the Lord would have us to have this morning. And so I'm going to turn your Bible to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter number 3. Pray for me. I get this stuff out of my throat. I don't know if it's a toad or a frog. Lamentations chapter number 3. That's right after the book of Jeremiah. If you're not that familiar to where it might be, it's right after the book of Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah's Lamentations. And then chapter number 3 in that is where we'll read this morning. Two verses of Scripture, verse number 22 and verse number 23. And the Bible says in verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Let's pause to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, this morning for the privilege of being in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for thy word that we have before us, for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for it and for the marathon, Lord. Again, we're grateful for the work the Spirit of God did on our behalf, and we're so thankful to the people out there that labored with us and stayed with us and gave of their finances that we might remain and continue preaching the gospel. I appreciate our people so much, their work and their giving as well. I appreciate their faithfulness. I'd ask you now, Lord, to bless in thy word this morning. Give us grace and liberty and help. And bless us, Lord, as you only you can save souls and revive and strengthen thy people. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Well, if there was ever a morning that I come very near to sitting down in my stool, it was this morning. Amen. Brother Hall's knees just feel a little bit weak for some reason this morning. But I'm going to try it here, and if I don't make it, we'll get the stool up here. But I think I'm going to make it, because I don't intend. I told Brother Steve 14 minutes. He said, "You'll never make it in 14 minutes. I said, "I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about prayer." Well, that settled that right there, you see. But I want to preach for a little while this morning, if I may, on the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
We went through our radio marathon.
Amen.
And as far as we were down in the hole, you might say, I didn't think there was any way that we could ever reach the top, ever dig our way out or climb out. And you know, the fact of the matter is we couldn't, and we didn't. But it was the faithfulness of God and the hand of mercy that reached down and brought us out of that financial rut that we were in and got our feet back on some solid ground. And I want to thank Him for that. And God did that because God is faithful. There is no question about it. His mercy, the Lord, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And His compassion, the Bible says, fails not. What about that? We've got a compassionate God. In fact, He's a God of all comfort. His compassions fail not. They cannot fail. God is a compassionate God, and they're new every morning. Every morning. Every morning. They're new. Every morning. And then Jeremiah said, you're just not faithful to us, but great is thy faithfulness.
Right.
Your faithfulness, the Lord's faithfulness, exceeds faithfulness.
Amen.
It is great faithfulness. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. You know, and I don't believe that we'd have to labor, and I haven't, and I don't intend to, a great deal in our text this morning to prove to you that God, that the God we serve, is faithful. He is faithful to us. He finishes all the tasks and accomplishes every purpose. He is very precise, and He's never slothful. That's our God that we serve. God never starts anything that He does not finish. And God does not do things halfway. He doesn't cobble things up. God's not like a shade tree mechanic, you know, that try to fix their own automobiles and don't know anything about them. God is precise. He never fouls anything up. He's very precise. And He's never slothful in what He's doing. God is always very, if I can use the word, diligent in what He does. We serve a very diligent God. Every promise in the Word of God will be fulfilled. Even the judgment and the punishment of those who refuse His hand of mercy. Those promises to them God will fulfill. And God said, if you draw back from My hand of mercy, you're going to suffer in a lake of fire. He said that. God meant that. And believe it or not, that is in one of the promises of God, and that is going to be true. If you draw back from God and shrink back from God and reject God or refuse God, there's only one alternative, and that is the promise. He said that any man that forgets God, all nations that forgets God, He said, will be turned into hell.
That's right.
And that's a fact. They will be. Now, our text reads, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And then He said, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is not only faithful to His promises in the Bible, but God is faithful to His people. Now, you need to mark that down in your mind this morning. We think about God being faithful to what He said in this Bible, and He will be. He has been, He is being, and He shall ever be faithful to what He said in this Bible. He cannot break a promise. It is set in concrete by two immutable things that cannot be changed. God changes not. Therefore, God's Word changes not. But you know, not only is God faithful to His promises, God is faithful to His people.
Amen.
And I rejoice in that this morning, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm glad that we've got a God that is faithful to us. Now, I've met a lot of men in my day and a lot of people that wasn't faithful to me. They'd say this and do something else. But what God says to you that He'll do, and what God says to me, God will do that, because He's just as faithful toward His people as He is toward His promises. When He let Israel go down into the land of Egypt, He had made a promise to Abraham that He'd bring them out. And sure enough, when the time and due time, God went down into the land of Egypt and brought His people out. And I will say this, God made a promise in Genesis 3:15 that He would bring a seed of the woman into this world that would bruise the head of that serpent. And I'm telling you, in the fullness of time, that promise came true to God's people. It was a promise in the Word of God, but it came true to God's people. Because in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God's not slothful, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, God's never early and He's never late. He's always right on time. Everything that He's always done has always been right, and it's always been right on time at the exact moment. Amen. I marvel. I mean, I marvel this morning at the lady that came in on the marathon this past week. Some of you may not have heard it. But a lady came in on the marathon, and she said, I made this pledge 8 years ago. And she said, I never fulfilled this pledge. I still owe $300 to WSOF Radio that I pledged 3 years ago. And she said, you know, I want to give that to you today. And they brought that slip into me, and I got to thinking about that. And I said, Lord, you're such a wise God. Here 3 years ago, that pledge was made, and the money didn't come in. And I said, we've got along well without it up until this point. But I said, you know the shape we're in now. And I said, isn't it a marvelous thing that this lady, 8 years after making that pledge, at a time when we're where we are financially, I'm talking about right on time, at the time, at the exact time, that lady walks in with a check for $300 and lays it on the desk for WSOF Radio right at a time when we need it. Now, don't tell me that God don't know what He's doing. God knows what He's doing, and He does what He knows. Amen. And He'll do what He knows right on time, every time. And I want to thank Him for what He's done on our marathon. Thank God. He ought to approve to me and you and everybody else out there that God's still on the throne. Thank God. And He's still faithful to His people and doing what He wills in the hearts and lives of the people of God. Amen. That's exactly right. I know that's right. Bless His wonderful name. He loves us so much that even He numbers the hairs of our head. And I'm going to tell you, He's got a hard time keeping up with mine. But He does. Amen. Psalm 36:5 makes this statement. He said, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That God's, the Lord is in the heavens, and His faithfulness reaches under the clouds. Now, somebody said, well, how come it just reaches under the clouds? Well, I've got my own interpretation of that, and some of you are not going to like that. But, if you read through the Word of God, now you don't have to take this as concrete. I believe it, but you don't have to. But many times in the Bible, when it talks about clouds, we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. It's talking about people. It's talking about people. And His faithfulness reaches to the clouds. I believe what He's talking about, particularly in that verse, is that when His trumpet sounds, at that last trump, and Jesus makes that shout, that great cloud, I'm telling you, that great cloud of people is going to meet Him in the air. Somebody say amen right there. God's faithfulness, ladies and gentlemen, does reach to His people wherever they may be. Hallelujah to God. Say amen right there. Now, Psalm 92 in verse 1 and 2, it says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. You ought to take heed to that. That's right. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When we're sick, we ought to thank Him for it. Amen. When we're hurt, we ought to thank Him for it. So I said, boy, that's hard to do. Tell me about it. Amen. You won't talk about it? I've seen these shirts on people said, you won't talk about my grandchildren? I'll talk, or something like that. You won't talk about the Lord and thanking Him for things that hurt? Amen. I can talk to you about that. But I tell you, we ought to thank God for everything. Amen. And the reason being is, and you know this, but get it in your head today if you ain't ever gotten in there, that everything God does in our life, God does for a purpose. And it doesn't matter whether it brings pain, heartache, sorrow, whatever it brings, God has allowed it to be there, and God has put it there for a purpose in our life that He might in turn bless us with all the glory of heaven, with all the power and mercy of God, with all the faithfulness of the Holy Ghost in our lives as His children. Amen. That's right. Thanks be unto His wonderful name. So it's good to give thanks unto the Lord. And it's good to sing praises unto His name. He didn't say mumble praises. I was singing in there on the radio on the marathon. Brother Whitlow came up to me. He said, now, Brother Hall, he said, I love you. He said, we've been friends a long time. I don't want to separate our friendship. But he said, I was listening to the marathon a little while ago coming up the highway on Wednesday when we started. And he said, you know, I heard you over there saying, he said, brother, I don't mean to offend you, but he said, you'd be better off to stick to preaching and let somebody else do the same. But that Bible said, sing praises unto his name. To his name. What is his name? His name is Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. That is exactly right, and we ought to sing praises unto his name. Hallelujah. Why? His name's above every name. There's not another name any higher than his name. No, sir. He's the head of the church. Amen. He's got a name above every name. He sits on a throne in glory. Hallelujah. We are his subjects. He is our king. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And therefore, we ought to sing praises unto his wonderful name. Hallelujah. That's right. At his birth, they said he called his name Jesus, and at his birth, the angels sang at his birth, and bless the Lord if the angels sang at his birth. How much more should you and I that have been redeemed by the grace of God and the blood of the Lamb sang at his wonderful name? Amen. That's right. If the angels sang at his birth, surely us that are redeemed ought to do the same thing, shouldn't we? I should think so. Amen. Don't mumble. Sing. You know what I said to Brother Whitlow? I got him. I got in the last punch. I said I wasn't singing. He said, well, what was you doing? I said, I'm biblical. I was making a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, amen. I might not be able to sing, but I make a joyful noise. Amen. That's right. May not be joyful to you, but it's music in the ears of God. Amen. Amen. You know why? When it comes out of the heart, God loves for things to come to Him out of the heart of His youngins. Glory to God. You better believe that's right. They don't have to sound good vocally, but I'm going to tell you, if they sound good spiritually from the heart, they'll do well in the heart, in the mind of Almighty God. And He loves us when we lift up our hearts unto Him. Hey, by the way, God looks upon the heart, ladies and gentlemen. God searches the heart. God tries the heart. It's what's in the heart that makes a difference with God.
Right.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, people render lip service a lot and it don't mean a flip. Amen. You better That's what it's in the book of Isaiah. So he talked about them people talking, said all they done, said they just get talk, give me lip service. The Lord Jesus even said that himself.
Amen.
He's not looking for lip service. He's looking for heart worship.
Amen.
Amen. He's not looking for lip singing. He's looking for heart praising. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, and then he goes on to say, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night.
Yes.
If I understand that right, we ought to sing every morning and every night. Amen. That's right. Every morning and every night. Get out of bed singing and go to bed singing. Somebody said, how can we do that? He put a song in your heart. Just let it out, ladies and gentlemen. Just let it out. Thank God. Go to bed singing, get up a singing. And a praising God and a thanking God. When I put my feet on the floor this morning, I thanked Him. Son, you talking about stiff? I was stiff as a clapboard. I said, I don't believe I won't make it. I got that like that. Brother, it was rough. Hey, amen. Had to get in that hot shower and get limbered up a little bit. Thank God. Now, where is He faithful? I want to say, number one, that God is faithful to save every penitent that comes to Him. He's faithful.
Amen.
To every penitent, every sinner. He's never cast out one that ever come to Him. There have been some that's come to Him that departed from Him.
Amen.
But He's never cast out one.
That's right.
No, sir, He's faithful to save. John 6:37, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. And how true that is. Aren't you glad God saves old sinners?
Yes.
Amen. It's just like Doc Sider said, you don't have to be good to qualify to go to heaven. You've got to be a sinner.
Amen.
That's right. I like to see God save sinners. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say amen right there. I don't know about you, but I was a sinner. Not only was I a sinner, I was a lost sinner. I was a sinner and was lost, but he come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Ain't that right? And when he found that which was lost, he cradled me in his bosom and carried me all the way back to the Father's house. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Thank God he come to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he found me laying down in that ditch, wounded and bleeding, I'm going to tell you, poured in a little oil, poured in a little wine, wound up the wound, picked me up with tender hands, placed me on his own beast and carried me down to the inn. And hey, he didn't ask the innkeeper. He told the innkeeper, here's some money, take care of it. He didn't ask him to take care of it. He told him to take care of it. God, I'm going to say, and he said, if I owe anything at all, when I come back again, said, I'll pay it back to you. But I'm going to say, when he comes back, he's not going to owe nobody a dime. I'm telling you, the debt's paid in full. When the Son of God hanged on Calvary's tree and shed his blood, he paid the debt. Ladies and gentlemen, you better believe it. It was paid in full. There's no balance on our salvation. Hey, you'll get a hold of that after a while. Woo! When he got off the tree, there was no balance. The God didn't write down saying, now Jesus died and paid half of it. Now they're going to have to do something else. They're going to have to do a little bit of work here and take the communion, and they're going to have to get baptized, and they're going to have to do this and do that. He didn't do that.
Amen.
When Jesus died on Calvary, he just wrote down, God wrote down a slip for you and I, a receipt, and said, handed it to us. And that receipt said, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And it is paid in full. I don't care what an Armenian says. You can tell them I don't believe a word of it.
Amen.
Hey, God has paid in full. Yes, sir. Now, salvation is not just an act. Salvation is a continual work of grace.
Amen.
A lot of people think salvation is just an act. You just get saved, that's it. No, sir. It's a continual work of grace. Somebody gets saved, that grace keeps on working. What he said, Brother Hall, I'm saying grace is not a bit lazy. Oh, not a lazy bone in the body of grace. It just keeps on working in the heart of a sinner. Amen. To conform them to the image of Christ. Correct them when they're wrong. Bless them when they need help. Lift them up when they're weary. Give them strength when they're tired. Give them water when they're thirsty. And feed them when they're hungry. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, that grace just keeps on working, ladies and gentlemen. Grace never sleeps, never slumbers, never goes to bed, and never stops watching over you.
Amen.
And we lay our heads on our pillows at night.
Yep.
Grace stands at attention at our bedside.
Amen.
And protects us from all evil.
That's
Somebody said, preacher, I don't believe that. The psalmist did.
Amen.
He said, I laid me down and slept, and I awoke again in safety. You better believe the psalmist believed that. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Now, that's right. He's faithful. He's faithful. That salvation preserves us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24 said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, not part of you, all of you. That's not H-O-L-Y. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. Sanctify you, holy body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
And it will. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
It'll sanctify you wholly. And he said, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body, there it is, be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you. Faithful is he that calleth you. But I'm going to tell you the part I like. Amen. Who also will do it. Praise God, I'm telling you, he that calls you is faithful, and the call that he, and what, said to him, faithful is he that calls you, and who will also do it. Do what? Son, he's doing a work on you. Amen. I'm going to tell you, he's not going to grow tired of doing that work. Somebody said, what if I get out of joint? What if I do this and do that? He's not going to get weary about doing it. Well, what if I get marred a little bit in the hands of the potter? Well, he'll just make a new hunk of clay, make a vessel that he wants. He's not going to cast you away. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad the potter didn't throw the clay away? Thank God, I'm telling you, when the clay was marred in the potter's hand, he didn't throw the clay away. Thank God, he just picked it up and made a vessel out of it that was made for the master's use. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, he ain't going to throw you away. Faithful is he that called you, and faithful is he that will do it. Thank God, I'm telling you, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. He'll do it. That's right. Now, he'll provide for us. God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. His relationship demands it, that he supplies for us and provides. His relationship does.
Right, amen.
Demands that he supply for us. That Bible said, now unto God, our Father, be glory forever and ever. That is in Philippians 4:20. It said, amen. Unto God, our Father. You think our Father is not going to provide for you and I?
That's right.
You think he's going to deny himself and become worse than an infidel? Let me ask you something. Why are we worried?
Right. Amen.
Oh, the end of the world's coming. Well, let the end of the world come. Whatever happens, I know that I'm cradled in the everlasting arms of God. He holds me in the palm of his hand. I rest in his bosom. Amen. I'm close to his heart. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Amen. Let the end of the world come. We had these fellows come by here and passed out some of them Frisbee things. CDs. And I don't know what all was on. Some kind, he may be listening. I don't know, and I wouldn't give a flip. I wouldn't listen to the junk. I listen, watch one of them and throw it in the trash. It's just a bunch of trash. And I'm not listening to that junk. Oh, they, and it goes back, all it is a political ploy. It's not a got a thing to do with, they try to mix politics and religion. Amen. They try to mix politics and old time religion. Now, I'm going to tell you, politics has not got any place in old-time religion.
Amen.
Amen. You say, you really believe that? Oh, yeah!
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, what do you mean? I mean, God will save a Democrat if he repents.
Yeah.
God will save a Republican if he repents. God will save an Independent if he repents. Come on now and listen carefully. God will save a Nazi if he repents and trusts Christ. He'll save him. God ain't got nothing. God doesn't have anything to do with politics. God will save a black man and a white man, poor man and a rich man, old men and little young men, big boys and young boys, old girls and young girls. Amen. God will save them. He is no respecter of persons. Amen. That's right. God will save a Russian if he repents. God will save a Chinese if he repents. God will save a Vietnamese man if he repents. Politics, you can't mix it with religion and get by with it. It don't work. I guarantee you on that, it don't work. It goes on to say in Colossians 1:21-22, and he said, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now is he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you an unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And I want to say number two very quickly, that God is faithful to succor you when you're tempted. When you're tempted. I hate to even try to say anything about temptation. Brother Steve has covered that so well in the Sunday school hour. And there's not a thing really that I can add to it, but I can say this, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Do you know what that word succor means? Give relief!
Right.
He's been tempted in all points as we are. And He knows how to give relief to you and I when we're tempted.
Thank
God, I'm telling you, if we didn't find, there were times in my life, if I didn't find relief, I believe I'd die. But I'm glad that there was a great Lord that knew me and loved me, that came by my way and succored me. Hey, just like Abishai, I succored David in the battle when Goliath's brother came along, amen, and had David in a place that he could kill him. And Abishai succored David and killed that giant for him. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you, there's some giants coming your way you can't conquer. You listen to what I'm saying, and the older you get, you'll realize there's a whole lot of them out there you can't conquer. But I'm glad, thank God, I'm about ready to run my head through a wall. I can't conquer, but I'm glad I've got one that can succor me. Amen to God. The one that I can't defeat and conquer, He'll conquer them for me. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Better believe that He will. If I can't overcome them, He'll overcome them for me. Somebody said, I don't believe that. And you know what? You believe whatever you want to believe. He'll overcome them for you if you can't overcome them. That's exactly right. Now, listen. Lord, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear, but that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know what that word escape means? Anybody? To exit. God will with that same temptation make you a way of exit. Get out of it. God will make a door. God can make a door where there ain't no door. Amen. God can make a way where there is no way. Come on now. Come. Hey, I could take you into battle and show you a dozen places where there wasn't no way for God's people to go. Just like the Red Sea, but when there wasn't no way to go, God made a way. When they come to the Jordan and there wasn't no way to go, God made a way. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Yes, sir. You better believe it.
Amen.
When David went out into the wilderness with just a handful, his own son with a whole nation hot on his heels when there wasn't no way, God made a way. When the Midianites came up on little old Israel and Gideon had 300 men and they had thousands and there wasn't no way, God made a way. Thank God. I'm telling you, God's good at making ways. When Sennacherib come up against Hezekiah and Hezekiah had no way, God made a way, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, God will make a way. I like that song, He made a way for me. Hey,
amen
to God. I was between a rock and a hard spot. I couldn't get out. Devil had me hemmed up. Sin had me hog tied. Amen. The devil had me hemmed up. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost got through the barrier of the devil. Amen. Cut the straps and set me free. Brought me out of that rock and hard spot and gave me liberty in the Lord. Amen. 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 That's right. Now, He said He'd make you, help you to bear it. That is to stay under it. And He will. I'll help you stay under it. Sometimes temptation will make us great promises that it cannot fulfill. Brother Steve made note of this morning, that it was the devil. He said, I told the Lord, said, if you fall down and worship me, He said, all these kingdoms I'll see. He took him up on a great high mountain, said, all these kingdoms I'll give to you if you'll just fall down and worship me. And Brother Steve made note of that, that they was given unto him to give to whomsoever he will. But they wasn't his really to give. Now, he thought he could give them away. But I'm going to tell you, he didn't. And when he gives them to the Antichrist, they won't last.
Amen.
He may give you something. The devil may tempt you and give you, hey, you may get what you want out of that temptation, but I tell you, it won't last.
Amen.
The satisfaction of it will not last.
Amen.
You take a man that's a whoremonger and goes out and finds him a woman, and thinks he's found satisfaction, I'll guarantee you it will not last. Say amen or oh me. It don't make no difference to me. Man thinks he can find satisfaction in a bottle. He might get drunk and all of his cares go away for one night. But guess what? When he wakes up sober-minded the next morning and hungover, them same cares will still be there on his mind. Somebody said, how do you know? Been there, done that, got a T-shirt. That's how I know. Liquor won't get the job done. No, sir. Hallelujah. No. It'll offer you things that it can't fulfill for
you.
That's exactly right. Temptations are designed to draw out our love and affection away from Christ. You better be careful. Them temptations will draw your love and your affection. Somebody said, "Well, you go to hell." No, you say, but you're not. You just leave your first love. That's if the devil can't keep you lost where you go to hell, his next move is to get you where you're useless for God. Useless.
Amen.
That's right. He said in Matthew 4:10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Amen.
Satan said, fall down and worship me. I'm going to tell you what he wants to do. He wants your affection.
Right.
He wants to draw God's affection, your affection, away from God to him. And the world, come on now, say amen.
Amen.
But God is faithful. Woo! His mercies is renewed every morning. Hallelujah to God. We got a faithful God today that will not leave us in that condition. But God will deliver us. My God delivers again. I'm about to get crazy. I'm about to go crazy in the bed, bud. I'm glad my God, amen, delivers out of every trouble. Paul said he delivered me out of A-double-L. Oh, oh, oh. I'm going to run that by you. Oh, 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 oh. All of my troubles. Better believe that's right. Thank God some of y'all think I'm crazy. Or it acts like God has sense, but I'm not going to. So, difference. Temptations may come in the form of affections or reproaches. Think of old Joseph. Come and lay with me. I love you. She didn't love him. That heifer didn't love anybody. That heifer loved the position of life that she held. She didn't love Joseph. All she wanted was what his body had for a little while. I don't want to get ugly. But you better listen to what I'm telling you. Young ladies, there's a whole lot of men out there, young men, that all they want is your body for a little while. And I've got news for you. There's a whole lot of young women out there that all they want from a young man is his body for a little while. They're not interested in him. They're not interested in her. They just want what can satisfy for a little while. Amen. Temptations may offer worldly pleasures and honor and riches, like it did Moses. But in the end, it'll fail you. It'll fail you. I see some of y'all ain't smiling too much. I want to say thirdly and lastly, he's faithful to scourge every son that he receives. I'm glad that he does. Somebody said, I don't ever want to be chastised. Well, die, bastard, and go to hell if you want to. Every son that we receive, God scourges him, every one of them. That's right. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That Bible said, the Lord train up our children. Psalm 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. That's the Bible, and I believe it.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, God trains up his youngins right. When they get up, they don't have to go out and try the world a while. They don't have to go out and see what's going on out in the world. They stay in the house of God. They can come to the house of God as a child. They can get saved in the house of God as a child. They can stay in the house of God as a child and grow up in the house of God as a man and live for God without ever going into the world. And they're the ones that's got the testimony. I've heard these girls' homes and boy, call these girls up, give your testimony. And oh, they stand there and run on for 30 minutes about how vulgar and ungodly and wicked they were. And that's all they got. And then all at once God saved them. And they applaud such a great testimony. That's not a great testimony. I'm going to tell you what a testimony is. I heard my pastor, Dr. Harold Seidler, make the statement. He said, you're looking at one man that a cigarette has never touched my lips. He said, you're looking at one man that a can of beer has never touched my mouth. Amen. That you're looking at a man that has never been with nobody but his wife.
Amen.
That's a testimony, ladies and gentlemen. He said, you're looking at a man that's never said one curse word in all of my life. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. Amen. Would to God everybody was that way. Would to God I was like that. But I'm not. I can't say that I was. Now, Lord will train. God will train us and God will teach us. I was in Isaiah 48:17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest go. God will teach you to profit. Teach you to profit. Now, I'm not talking about financially profit. He may teach you how to do that too. But God can teach you how to profit spiritually if you really want to. But I'm going to tell you, His school of learning is much different than the public education of today. He doesn't use the same methods and techniques. And I'm going to tell you something else. He don't use the same textbook.
Amen.
His textbook is a King James 1611 Bible. Not an NIV or an ASV or any of them other V's.
Right.
New Living Paraphrase or any of the rest of them. The King James 1611 Bible. That's his textbook. Then he touches us. He not only trains us and teaches us, but he touches us. That word scourge means to touch. You ever had God to touch you in such a way? I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it does. It's not pleasant for the moment. But it yields the pleasant, the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's what it does. Oh, it doesn't feel good. When my daddy laid the limb to me, it didn't feel good. That day I got, that Ernie hit me in the face with that black snake whip. It didn't, my daddy busted my hide. It didn't feel good. But I'm going to tell you something. I ain't ever let nobody hit me in the face with a black snake whip since. And don't intend, I learned a lesson. You know why? My daddy touched me. He touched me. And he touched me with a good maple limb.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when God scourges us and touches us and puts his hand on us, we know about it.
Amen.
We know about it. That's right.
Amen.
We can say that Satan put his hand on Job, but it's only by permission. The bottom line of it is the hand that went on Job was the hand of God. That's the bottom line.
Amen.
Oh, and I'm going to tell you what a blessing for God to touch us. It means to make contact, to handle, to squeeze, to gnaw. You want God gnawing on you? No, preachers, you say, I don't want no lost preacher gnawing around on me. I'd like to have God gnawing around on me. Now, that's what that means. Scourged, to be gnawed on by God. Now, I want to say in closing, he's faithful to safeguard his people. That's right. You know, after Doeg had killed the Lord's priest and Saul was king, 1 Samuel 22:23, Abiathar had escaped and made his way down to David. And David said, abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh thy life seeketh my life. But with me thou art in safeguard.
Amen.
Now I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that with Christ, we're in safeguard. We're saved, we're in safeguard. That's exactly right. I don't have to worry about Saul getting to me. I don't have to worry about the Philistines getting to me. I'm in a cave. And I've got sentinels standing at the door. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and angels and horses and chariots of fire are standing sentinel at the entrance. And God has got an almighty hand cut over that grave. Just like He put it over the cleft in the rock when He put Moses in that cleft. He put His hand over that rock and closed Him in. I'm going to say to you that God has got us closed in. Thank God. You ought to shout over that and run the aisles. God's got us closed in. And I'm going to tell you, we're sealed airtight. Like Brother Don Anderson said one day. He said his mama was canning green beans. But she took those green beans out, put them on the table and put the lids on them and sat in a while. Said he walked out there and said he heard one of them lids on them green beans go. Said his mama said, got that one? And a little bit now. You know what them beans was doing? That rubber seal and that lid was sealing them.
Amen.
They have to pop like that. Now I'm telling you, my uncles used to can, my uncles and aunts, and I've eaten green beans out of their cellar, house, that had been there for 7, 8, 10 years, and they tasted just as good then as they did the day they put them in. You know why? They were sealed. There was nothing in to corrupt them. And I'm going to tell you, we're sealed until the day of redemption. Thank God. I'm telling you, hey, man, God's got the seal of the Holy Ghost on you and I. God will protect us and take care of us. You know why He will? He is faithful. Hallelujah. He didn't save you and redeem you from death to be unfaithful and unmerciful and unkind to you. He saved you that He might show to you the kindness of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like David showed the kindness of your kindness of David showed the kind his kindness to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. Amen. God is showing the kindness to you and I for Jesus' sake. That's His wonderful name. Thank God. That's exactly right. Amen. I'm glad that I'm unsafeguard. I'm sealed. Don't have to worry.
Amen.
You may not like it, but I like it. Amen. Some of you are sitting there looking like a calf in a new gate.
That's right.
Like you've never heard anything.
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, I've heard that so many times. Good. Maybe someday it'll soak in.
Amen.
It might eventually soak in.
Yes.
It may eventually get into your heart and you'll know without a doubt that you've been to Calvary.
Amen.
Yeah, like Brother Steve said, you'll never amount to nothing till you get over doubting whether you've ever been saved. You can't live in doubt. You got to live with a shout, amen. That's right. You can't live with a pat. You got to live with a shout, amen. And know that you know that you know that you've been to Calvary and been bought and purchased and paid for and pardoned by the blood of the Lamb of God, amen.
Amen.
It'll make you so happy. You won't know what to do with yourself. I'm glad that He's faithful. God is a faithful God. Let's stand.